Well, I don't think anyone listening to the program would accuse our guest Jim Channon of thinking small. He is obviously thinking big. These are profound ideas, and I think it's fair to say profoundly unsettling. The idea that that we would have a web-based democracy that moves beyond government, that people take direct action to resolve global crises, that they not only move beyond government, but move beyond organized religion, that we start thinking of ourselves as earthlings and raising the planetary awareness as opposed to continuing our warfare ways. I mean, there are some constituencies to whom that vision would seem to be a direct threat and a direct challenge. When we come back, we will open up the phone lines, get your thoughts and your questions on this with our guest. Stay with us for more Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. We're going to the phones in just a moment. Jim, you know, you're talking about a planet-based consciousness, planetary identity, people moving beyond governments. You know, this is profoundly unsettling, and I would think that a lot of folks, a lot of ingrained power structures would see you as a threat. Maybe it'd be easier just to pop you in the head with a bullet from a sniper's rifle than to let you keep talking about it.
Well, I know where I'm going, so they could try if they want. But what do you mean by profoundly unsettling? I think it's profoundly settling, actually, perfectly settling. I think you know, all old worlds die hard, and you know, some people just have to say, let's not have a revolution, folks. Let's just walk away. Let's go do what we have to do. Those guys in Washington and New York can get other jobs.
Well, profoundly unsettling in that it is new and it's different. It's radically different.
Well, the speed at which we're going, we have to make some radical turns, and this is a natural turn. This is a turn back into the countryside and profoundly connected by the web, you know, something that gives us answers to our requests in 2 seconds. And that's how barter is done. That's how trade is done. You know, the shaman always, you know, throws the gauntlet down, and you know, here we are.
About the
I'm
web.
only sorry that, you know, the level of the discussion here could be 30 minutes an answer, but you're doing good with me. Thank you.
I'm giving it my best shot. But you know, you talk about the web and the how it connects us all and the instant access to information. It's almost like the internet has become the Akashic record, the repository of all that we know and all that we will ever know.
Yeah, it's actually a temporary type of consciousness. Remember when we couldn't get the word around when we were farmers? The reason they invented senators and congressmen was to decide what we were thinking. Well, they're not doing a really good job, and everybody knows it. And by the way, they don't deliver very good services either. So, you know, the web has a lot more, maybe 10 times the value of what we were trying to do when we created a democracy. So I'm still interested in the democracy. I even think venture capitalism, a few pieces of that are really good. But overall, we have entrenched power structures that are being very arrogant and not doing the job. So we just need to leave them alone till they change their mind or go away.
Well, that's what I meant about profoundly unsettling to those power centers.
Oh, fine.
Okay. Wild
Whatever.
card line. Michael and you.
I've been to war. Hello.
Michael in Eugene, Oregon. Good morning, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. You know, it's like there's so many questions I could ask. It's like I feel honored that I had the opportunity to talk with both of you gentlemen. Gosh, it's just mind expanding here, this whole thing. And it just clicks into what I felt for so long. But how do you get a degree in consciousness? I mean, what is, and that's one question that I have.
Well, you can call Saybrook Institute in San Francisco and look at the curriculum. There are four or five others. There's a John F. Kennedy School of Consciousness, I think, in the East Bay of San Francisco. And they have appropriate courses. They go all the way to PhD.
There was a chair in consciousness studies at UNLV here in Las Vegas that was funded by Bob Bigelow for a while. It caught a lot of flack from other science folks who thought it was too goofy.
Well, let's just take the word consciousness and add the word awareness. What can you use more in your life than awareness? Think about it.
Yeah. Michael, are you still there? Michael's gone.
I've got one more question. Have you ever felt like, I know that I listen to the show quite a bit, and it's like, have you ever felt I don't know, it's like somehow you just don't, or you just don't fit in some kind of sort of way? It's like I have hard times sometimes communicating with other people because they don't quite understand what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
And I do, like, in spades.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You can measure a soldier's warrior skills by the medal on his chest, the medals on his chest, and you can measure the change agent's courage by the arrows in his back.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for the call. West of the Rockies, Richard from here in Las Vegas. What's on your mind, Richard?
Hi, George. You're the best. You hit it right on the head. Jim. How are you?
Just fine. Thank you.
I have your original manual from 1972 that I got through the Shaolin people, which I know you know about.
Yeah.
And all the handwritten stuff and everything, I have a copy of it. And, George, if you knew this gentleman wants... By the way, are you higher than a lieutenant colonel now?
Not in the military, but I went through two other careers since then and did okay.
Okay, that's good for you. I'm glad. George, if you knew what this gentleman proposes, there's got to be a central power structure, and what he proposes is setting up warrior people that would be around and control separate sections of cities and parts of countries, and they would all answer to higher beings that would then answer to a central control. And what he wants to implement and what he's talking about is so scary that I knew this day would come when I would hear it on this station, but I never thought I'd hear it from him, and I certainly never thought I'd see a movie on it, and I'm glad it's a comedy. I hope that the paranormal movie does better than your movie.
Well,
I'm
Richard,
sorry, but that's how I feel about
that's
it.
That's okay. That's why we're here, is to talk this out. What part is scary to you?
What part is scary to me is the way he, and I don't quite remember, I have the whole manual, but the manual lays out warrior monks and how to train live in tents and in places where you're not ready, where you're not set up to do that, and to get more in line. The original concept of as I understand it, of the power was not to kill lambs, but to kill power people like Khrushchev. The way I heard it was Khrushchev at the time, and people like that, so that the people who understood mind control could use that in doing that, in killing those certain people. So there'd be a whole thing. George, I'd really like to get with you just to show you this manual.
Well, I'd like to respond, George.
Sure.
Because if you listen carefully to what I said during this program, my concept is anything but centralized. There is no central control. I'm advocating precisely the opposite of that, independently operating communities connected by the web, and having military people with training and skills and equipment doing the hard work to bring the environment back. I don't know where you got the other part about centralized control or people in cities. I don't remember that.
Well, his point about the manual talking about killing people and not just goats, I would imagine that that is probably true, and that sense that the Army was sponsoring the research and they were looking for ways to have practical applications in a military sense, right?
No. And nope. That manual was conspicuously absent of anything but how to create peacemaking situations everywhere there used to be a military solution. Precisely.
Richard, do you have the manual in front of you? Is there some part of it?
No, I don't have it in front of me, but it's not far away. It's buried in a file cabinet.
And you're saying that it was aiming at killing people?
The whole idea was to centralize and coordinate everybody, so if they didn't go along with what was going on, they'd either be put in camps, they'd be put, something would be done with them. As he said, really, rather than do something with them, have them trained and put them in with corporations or with the Army or the Navy. I mean, if you're going to have them put in with those kind of military installations, those military installations have to answer to someone.
I really would love to invite you to go to the website neweartharmy.com and get a copy. I think you must have gotten a copy from somebody else. This sounds completely strange to me. And I invite anybody else who'd like to check this out to go the same place.
Richard, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. First-time caller Chad in Ogden, Utah. Hi, Chad.
Hi. My question deals with something that you were discussing earlier. Jim, you mentioned the biosphere. I've been studying it's called the 13 Moon Peace Calendar, and it's based loosely on the calendar, one of the calendars the Mayans used. Are you familiar with the term? I'm not even sure how to pronounce it. It's spelled N-O-O-S-P-H-E-R-E.
Nope. Yeah, Teilhard de Chardin's Noosphere.
Very good, yes.
Yeah, which is the time when both machines and people would assume a similar consciousness, and it would be all over the planet. And he wrote that in 1938, I think. And I am familiar with that, and I have a Second Life website with 38 moons in a giant pyramid where you can read the countdown to 2012 and get preparation advice for local communities.
Thanks, Chad. What's your take on the whole 2012 concern?
Oh, well, if I were God, I would be playing it right up to the last moment to see how willing and awake people would be. You can do the snuff it all out theory. You can do the people of Earth wake up and win the game and the lights come on theory. Or you can say this is just another transition from one industrial age to one, and I'm going to use this word, floral age. That's Tom Robbins' word, by the way, the writer.
Oh, I
know. And on our way to the globe, to the golden age.
I know Tom Robbins pretty well. Talented writer for sure.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, we're going to wildcard line, Johan in Tampa Bay. Hi, good morning.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, George.
Sure.
And Jim, it's good to talk to you. This sounds like the right plan. You have to use the computers and the internet to do the direct democracy rather than have a representative government, because the representatives get in there and they seem to get real greedy right away. And I just think it's a great program that you got tonight, because it's really hitting at a solution rather than in the midst of our problems here.
Did you have a question?
Does he need a world king to make this system work based on a righteous king?
Well, we definitely need role models, but and you know, kings haven't been all bad at that. The nations that use their royal leaders the right way, the royal leaders set a standard, like the Queen of England, etc. They set a standard for excellence, but they don't meddle in the actual day-to-day operations. So, if you're talking about, do we need some people to stand up? Start be loving beings, bring themselves to nature, have it all come to full life, bring the planetary community together in global villages so we all have the richest benefits of every culture on the planet at a local available venue. Just to say a few things, I love role models. Gosh, we could use a lot of those. I like to see them, in the centers of power. And I wouldn't elect them until I saw whether they could freestyle dance or not.
Thanks, Johan. We're going east of the Rockies. John in Atlanta. Good morning, John.
Hello?
Good morning. How you doing?
Talking to me?
Yes. Yes, we are. Okay. What, you got a question for Jim?
Yeah, I think a good transition into your program would be, instead of playing all those games with taxes, is to limit profits to like 6%. So, just avoid the whole thing of, you know, people getting aggressive. In other words, if you know that there was a max, you know, but naturally, the more you put out, the 6% of a million is more than 6%. You know, but the thing is, everyone would have a max. And I think this would eliminate a lot of this, putting people like me against you kind of thing, too.
Yep.
I can't think of the word.
Competitive?
Yeah. Better than you.
Superior? What?
I'm thinking, in any event, the whole thing is money is ruining a lot of things for people, to make a long story short.
It is. It certainly is. And that's why we recommend what we call wideband ethical marketplace. So
that's what I was saying, 6%.
Yeah. Yeah, we have places for money, but we have places for trade. We have places for barter, which is slightly different. We have places for reciprocity, where people just give to each other because it's a principle of love. And we have surplus and exchange. Well, then money takes up only 1/6 of the economic spectrum that way. So you avoid people just ruining the system. I think there was a word, usury, that used to be in the Constitution to take care of people who used the system like they are. Yeah, thank you.
Aren't people, isn't greed sort of come with the territory with humans, that we covet, we want more stuff?
I think it starts, George, with the idea of sort of excellence and goes into efficiency. Then it goes into leverage. And then it goes into, well, a little more leverage and a little more leverage. And they're doing it, so shouldn't we do it? And it's a slide. It's an ethical and moral slide that happens, especially when you're really producing things in a competitive marketplace. But at the same time, venture capital, which is basically investing in people's ideas and beliefs with paper, allows a country to move forward. So there are pieces of capitalism that are really great. It's basically an extension of belief and faith. It's just the people who get inside and start running the plumbing their own way.
Our guest is Jim Channon. We're coming back. A lot of folks on the phone wanting to ask questions. We'll be right back with more Coast to Coast AM. Back into the home stretch here of our interview with Jim Channon. And certainly no shortage of ideas, things to chew on here, big ideas, big concepts. A lot of folks waiting on the phones to talk to Jim, and we'll get to as many of your calls as we can right after this. Stay with us on Coast to Coast. Welcome back. We have a little bit of time left with our guest, Jim Channon. Jim, you mentioned Tom Robbins. I got to tell you, he's my favorite living author. I mean, wild, crazy, creative. He's a revolutionary for sure. He wrote a book about called Jitterbug Perfume, one of my very favorites, and a really interesting take on immortality and the soul. Have you read that one?
Quite a while ago. So you must be more of a mystic than you sound like.
I actually got a chance to correspond with Tom Robbins. He has some friends here in Las Vegas and people who are involved in the remote viewing arena.
Yes.
And so we struck up sort of a relationship by far, but I haven't talked to him in quite a while or corresponded with him, but really interesting guy.
Yeah, I was witness to a showdown between he and Terrence McKenna one time. It was really great.
Oh, wow. I would hope that would be on tape.
Yeah, it is. A lot of Terrence stuff's on tape, not as much of Tom's.
We're going to go to the wild card line, Gene in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hi, Gene.
Yeah, journalist, it's an honor to talk to you as well as the rest of the Coast to Coast listeners. And I've become an avid listener, and I got a number of questions for you, Colonel.
All right.
And, one of them is, do you use astral projection as part of your scheme and things? For lack of terminology.
Yeah, I'm not. Say a little more about that, astral projection.
It's out of body OBEs.
Oh. No, but I know that the Robert Monroe Institute did a nice job, and we sent a bunch of generals there at one point. I respect what I've heard about it. I don't myself.
Yeah. Well, also, what I'm wondering about is this is so fascinating and so enlightening. I would like to learn more about it and how to do these things, like remote viewing and things like that, because, you know, I'm on a fixed income, and I just have to sit and nip and tuck to try to get things to meet. And I'm thinking through this, I can be able to learn more and be more proficient with my life and be able to make something of it, because I hate disabilities.
Sure. Well, you're having some good thoughts about that. I would say the secret is to take the three paranormal skills you seem to like the most and find out how they can work together, and then decide what kind of business application.
Yeah.
And then go for it, because, you know, a lot of it has to do with just pure faith and trust.
Yeah, I need to learn a little more of that.
Gene, do you have a computer?
I got one. I got to get the recovery discs for them, because I got them given to me, and I can get the computer to boot up beautifully. But then he wants a password that I don't have, and I can't get out the rest of the way.
Distractions.
Well, yeah, I think you can. I think there's got to be a way to get around that, Gene. And if you can get on the internet, you can access a lot of the information that we're talking about tonight. Thanks for the call. Going to Mike in Glasswater, Florida. Good morning, Mike. How you doing, Mike? You there?
Hello.
Hi. How you doing? You have a question for Jim?
Oh yeah, I'm in Eugene, Oregon. I thought you said Glasswater, Florida.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, we've got our lines mixed up here, but what's your name?
Mike.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
All right, thanks, George. Jim, I just started listening about 41 minutes ago, but I was sort of visualizing a framework based on the Articles of Confederation, which strongly advocated state rights over a centralized authority.
Mm-hmm.
And then including aspects of the Constitution dealing with individual freedoms and state rights. And then each region or state would coin its own currency of exchange backed by substance as opposed to fiat.
Right.
Then there'd be monthly votes on clear-spoken, complete, single-issue legislation as opposed to the sort of, you know, legislation filled with hundreds of issues and then the additions they always make to it. And then there would possibly be a regional leader or governor elected every 4 years, but whom voters could raise a fair referendum to remove annually. This would all be written down and physically tabulated. My problem with what I've heard you say and leading to my question is, we already have four corporate horror stories with the current black box voting. I think we should go back to written votes that are hand counted. It's been established it is fairly efficient and involves the communities. I would never trust internet voting. If they're immobile, a voter, they can send in a paper ballot. My question is, do you really think that we could trust anything with loopholes galore?
Well, if you noticed, and we'd completely agree about the idea of decentralizing, first of all, and printing state money, that would take the huge monopolies out pretty well. And I like the bundle of conclusions you came up with very much. I don't think I have enough time to talk about the internet in terms of its real deal-making power, but you look at Craigslist and whatnot, and it is handling local commerce exceedingly well built in. So I think the number of laws that need to be made regionally and the number of potentates or head people we need to vote for should be highly reduced. We should reward them based on their ability to deliver services, not the president of the senior class.
So you're saying that we wouldn't necessarily have an election online.
And not to have too many elections be, people could be put in that job based on meritocracy. Yeah, I think the entire business of expecting some person somewhere or some group of people behind closed doors to help us decide how to do our interactions with each other and our deals is old-fashioned and out of date. We need to rely on people figuring it out for themselves, just like everybody's got to decide where their heaven is. It's a personal responsibility.
Thanks, Mike.
But
oh, I'm sorry.
Good
go ahead.
Stuff, Mike.
Thanks. Good issue, Mike. Thanks for the call. East of the Rockies, Mark in Lansing, Michigan. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Bill. I was just wondering now. I've worked on like a lot of stuff like this. I was thinking like if I could get enough people to learn like a given like skill, like any of the paranormal skills that you're talking about, it would kind of pass the 100 monkey mark, you know, where everybody would have it.
Right.
It would just kind of be common knowledge to the ability set of the species. That being said, like, you know, I've seen several people who are actually working on these types of issues and are doing a lot of the same stuff you're doing, but I really appreciate what you're doing because there seems to be a leadership effort in that. But what is your organization based off? I mean, like, where does it start, you know?
Well, first of all, my organization, which sounds like a unit in an army, a battalion is normally 600 people, is a name for actually a think tank process. It's not actually an organization somewhere. And so what we do, though, is by associating the ideas with a type of organization, they become more real. But we don't have a headquarters, and we don't, you know, have control of any units anywhere. With respect to the note about getting a group together, I know the people at Fairfield, the Transcendental Meditators we have two colonels in the Army that are studying the principle of putting 1,000 people near a village that is dangerous and meditating at a certain level of coherence, which is means like clear mind, and it would reduce the level of resistance. And so there's an area where if soldiers had that skill. And right now, it's a little too difficult for the average soldier to spend that much time being a city. We could employ that kind of mind field, if you would excuse the phrase. And, you know, before we enter, the whole secret about entering dangerous areas is to do it in a way that pacifies as you move. And that's why we suggest certain kinds of music, even sending a robot vehicle in the night before to show what the force is going to do when they come in, like fix the water system, et cetera. So, well, I appreciate your thought.
Thanks for the call, Mark. West of the Rockies, Chris in Diamond Bar, California.
How you doing, fellas?
Okay.
All right. So, hey, I was wondering. Great show tonight. Avid listener, as much as I can, anyways. I'm just curious as to, I've heard Jim mention God more than a handful of times, and I'd like to start off and say that, you know, I am a Christian. You know, I believe in God, and I avidly study the Bible, and to the King James Version, to be specific. And I just wanted to say that these all sound like great ideas, you know, but it's really wishful thinking in vain. Just to say that, you know, that the earth, we can make it like a utopia, and that heaven's a state of mind. You know, heaven is a very real place. And you said something about being paved with gold, and that would be bad on your back. Yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, if you said earlier that God, there's evidence for God with the creation of the body, and that we have, you know, all the animals and then the earth itself. That's great evidence. Obviously, that's obvious evidence that God exists, and that means God's powerful. Well, if God's so powerful, what is to say that he's not in control of his word that's given here on earth for people to read? And that would make our God impotent if he gave us the word and it's been adulterated over thousands of years. That would make our God impotent, and that would also make him not able to create anything. And realistically, it would eliminate a need for any such God. Then that would all make us be, you know, just a complete accident, which is preposterous and ridiculous. I just want to hear your thoughts on what you think God is.
Wow.
Quickly, God is the force that is everywhere, that is unseen and sort of semi-unknowable by us, but the evidence of such a presence and such a deep intelligence and such a wonderful design is inescapable. Tracking a mythology through 2,000 years in a written document prepared by man gets a little tricky for me to handle, especially when I've studied 9 other religions, and I find that the common big ideas are all quite coherent and alike. It's just the details. And I'm not too impressed with the Christian version of the future. What's happened in our lifetimes is that men and women of vision and clarity of vision have always produced the impossible. And I'm saying, let's take this planet up, this beautiful planet up, on its basic setup, and our beautiful minds, which need to be released from data and put into a creative mode, and go for paradise as evidence to the Creator of our appreciation and love for what has been given us already.
Thanks for that call, Chris. You would say then, Jim, that God is a big picture sort of entity, intelligence, as opposed to a details guy?
Even more than that, I think God is more like a galactic energy field in which we actually participate in the construction of the magic that appears. So God is, in that sense, pure potential. And you know, this is somebody who's looking at the edges of things. But I know that I'm not getting very far with the dogma and the doctrine. You know,
We're just talking. That's why we're here.
Yeah, sure.
First-time caller, Maura in Madison, Virginia. Hi, Maura.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Good.
I envision a change in military uniforms down the road. I know it's going to take a while because right now, I think I agree it's insane, this warfare and sending our young men and women into areas to destroy a geographical area and then the after effects. But I called the Fashion Institute in New York and a few other fashion schools and whatever, and I thought it would be a great project for the students to design a military uniform on the life-giving plus side. Not
yes.
as an invader, but as a repairer to go in and help where the people are starving, where there's no water.
Mm.
Help with, and maybe a blue denim or plaid or just something. And the reception that I got was, what? You know,
Yeah, I understand. But I've also designed such uniforms with the same thing in mind. And especially, I have three people working on music that can be played to pacify. And my color is a gray light aqua. But, you know, people, good grief, they snickered at me for saying things like carrying lambs with you. Oh, boy, the snicker factor was really big on that. But, you know, we're talking about regular people in a battle zone, and we have to stick to pretty common things of that are peaceful. And the soldiers that I know had no problem with uniforming themselves in order to enter danger areas and whatnot. So thank you. I think you're on it. And don't be discouraged and, kick the system into action.
That's an interesting thought. I mean, soldiers going into an area wearing a less hostile sort of a uniform or carrying a lamb or something, it would seem to have practical benefits in that somebody is less inclined to shoot you.
Oh, I know it's so different than, for instance, the movies that we've watched for 50 years. But, yeah, that was in the field manual, precisely. And John Ronson, he actually picked up on it in the right way. He got you must make a gesture of love if you want trust. Because people are so trigger happy when they're scared and threatened. And that's what gets groups of civilians in the melee. That's got to stop. We got to beat that. That's no good.
Wildcard line, David in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hi, David.
Hello. My point previous caller was, sir, I was wondering, you do make distinctions between communism and what you hope or aspire for the government to be, because when you touch on eliminating ethos of competition, you take away, you start developing ideals of communism, or for former country of the USSR was in competition with the U.S., but its individuality and part of its falter was it took individual accomplishment out, because everybody was the same. If you could produce a profit margin that everybody has, and there are benefits of communism where it may help prevent poverty as much, because everybody's on equal income levels. But I hope you're writing. I haven't read anything you've had before, so I just hope you distinguish between what you inspire to have versus a communist state. Mm. And the second point is, I just heard you talk as what will be with God the Creator, with man's interpretation over thousands of years ago when the Christian Bible was written, and or the Quran, that man's interpretation of what a day is and written is that the world, the universe, our universe was created, our world was created in a day in less 24 hours.
Hey, David, I'm sorry to cut you off. We're out of time here. Jim Channon, I have really enjoyed the conversation. I hope you didn't misinterpret some of my questions or comments about your statements being profoundly unsettling. I meant they were unsettling to power structures and organizations.
Yeah, well, but yeah, and I have been in both. I lived in those worlds, and every time I asked them the highly purposed question, they always acknowledged that was the thing to think about. So I'm not afraid of them being unsettled.
All right, Jim, I really enjoyed the conversation. Hope we can communicate in the future. Thanks, everyone. I'll be back next month on Coast to Coast AM. Have a good one.